And thinking about the people that you would have worked under, you said that you, Bill Thomas was the chief designer. What was he like as a person?
He was a very friendly character. He loved his sport. He loved his rugby. And, he was a very helpful character. You could talk to him and
Did he have an ebony ruler that you remember that he would carry with him?
Ebony ruler? No, I can't remember that. No. No.
It's someone who worked in the drawing office perhaps, you know, 5-6 years previously remembers that he had this ebony ruler that he would carry when he walked through the drawing office. And if he saw that you weren't working perhaps as hard as you could have been, he used to crack you over the knuckles with the ebony ruler.
Why would someone do that? No, no, no. I can remember one day that he was on the telephone and talking to someone in Birmingham, and he always had quite a loud voice when he was on the phone, you know. And Mr. Jim Fielding came up to him and just waited until he'd finished. And after he put the phone down, he said, "Who's that you were talking to?" "Oh, somebody in Birmingham, didn't I?" "Well," he said, "you were on the phone." He said, "you didn't have to shout to him." Kids, we roared with laughter quietly. But
as the apprentice in the drawing office, did you have to uncover Bill Thomas's drawing board at the start of the day, or had that been outmoded when you were there?
No, I never saw that done. But there was, I can give you the seating arrangement down on one side if you like.
That'd be fascinating.
Bill Thomas. There was Jack Fielding. There was Tommy Brew. There was Harold Thomas. Roy Pegler. And then I've got to stop because I... No, there was also Bertie Going one time, but then they set up a little design office, so one or two moved into there. Yeah. But, yeah.
And what side? Which side of the room was that, then, that we've just described? Was that the right-hand
that
side?
That was on the railway line side, the row of desks down there. And then we had the boards or desks coming out from there with an alleyway through here and alleyway through there. That was the other wall there. So that you were more or less divided up into sections.
And you mentioned Jack Fielding worked there. What do you remember of him? Did you speak to him at all?
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes, he was quite deaf. This was due to the First World War. I think he was in the Royal Artillery, and I think he suffered deafness from that. He couldn't hear birds whistling, evidently, but he could hear anybody whistling in the office, and he sorted them out.
I take it whistling wasn't a very common occurrence in the drawing office.
No, because it was clamped down on. I mean, it was a disturbing influence, really. I mean, you wanted a bit of peace and quiet if you were working away there.
It must have been deathly quiet compared to the fitting shop.
Oh, gosh, yes. Yes, yeah, yeah. Yes, he was... Jack Fielding was a very good artist. And anybody who came into the office from outside, from another company, on the side of his board, you would find a little sketch of his features, head, shoulders, so on. Yeah, very good. He always do his own Christmas cards as well. Just send them out.
Do you remember him designing them in the drawing office?
No. He always did this at home, as far as I could understand. But he had them competently.
Did you receive them?
No. No, it was only specific people who had them. I think Molly had one or two. And I think all the tracers did generally in the female staff, yeah. Yeah.
And did you work with any of the other Fieldings? Was Frank Fielding in
Frank
the drawing of Fielding?
He was an elderly man when I went up into the drawing office. He never associated with anybody in the office at that time other than the senior people, Bill Thomas and so on. Yeah.
So he wouldn't have actually been based in the office itself generally? No.
Yeah. The technical director, I suppose he was at that time, was Reggie Rules. He had a son, David, who was also at Fieldings. When I was in the works and when first started in the office, no, he was out of the... He went to Cambridge University. I can remember various people in the, you know, who were directors. Stammers, Whittaker.
Did they come to the drawing office very much?
No, very little, very little.
But it would have been to, when they did come, it would have been to check the progress on something, or...
That's right, or if, yes, or if they wanted somebody to go away with them or something like that, yes, yeah, yeah. Then they would come and make a direct approach, or their secretary would, yeah.
So you started... Under Mr. Nichols, doing these detailed drawings in the drawing office, and how did your work progress from there on in?
Well, I suppose from detail work it progressed to full scale piping layouts for extrusion presses, different presses like that, and different designs.
So you started doing the design work. Did anyone teach you how to do the design work, or was that something that you...
You were a tech at the time, too. So you picked up quite a lot from that. But yes, I mean, you had a helping hand. And if you did a drawing, a full-scale drawing, finished it with all your details on and so on like that, it was never accepted as such. It was always checked.
And who would have been doing that checking?
The person that you were responsible to in the office. Yeah.
And who would that have been? Would that have again been Mr. Nichols when you were doing...
Mr. Nichols or Mr. Brew, perhaps. I mean, such things as when you... I was trying to think of an example. Oh, yes, perhaps when you had a... If something had been bored out, we'll say, like that, and you wanted to put... a bush in there, you could never put a sharp corner, you always had to a radius, you see, but then if anything went in there, you had a chamfer, so that you missed your radius, and you fitted flush against that face, and flush against that face, so, yeah, the small details that you probably didn't realise at first was necessary, but it was necessary. Mm.
And how long would you have gone to tech for then, to learn all of this?
I went up to the National Certificate Standard. But, some went higher. They went on the higher national. But, I didn't.
And are there any particular jobs that stand out for you during the time that you worked in the drawing office that you could describe? Anything that gave you particular satisfaction or that you overcame a challenge to complete?
Yeah, I've got to think about that. There was a lot gave me satisfaction. There was a few things that didn't give me satisfaction, but we can go into that. I was associated with aluminium sheathing for the firm down in Gravesend. I was taken down there by Mr. Bill Thomas and, you know, had some meetings there and so on, and came back, and then I went down regularly after that when they were doing tests and so on. That was satisfaction. It finished because somebody found a cheaper method of doing it, of course. And there's other satisfactory jobs, I suppose, yes. Extrusion presses. And then, of course, you moved on from one job to another. I went on to scrap metal equipment and slab plants, the paving slabs and curbs and so on like that, one of which was associated with the Piccadilly Heathrow Underground, making the tunnel sections for that, interlocking and wedging them in. And, yeah, that was all new.
We'll come back to that. The job in Gravesend, was that the first job that you went away to work outside of Fieldings for?
No, I think there was one before that. I think I went up to London to... heck, that was in connection with somebody who wanted a press for doing silver extrusions. It's a vertical press. I can't remember the name of the company now. They're very well known, precious metal people. Can't remember.
It's no problem. But this would have been in the mid to late 40s, though.
That would be, this was the end of the war. Yeah, definitely.
And what was it like going out as a draftsman? What was your role when you had to go off site?
Well, there were various things. I had to talk about installation for a start. What sort of foundation was needed? Where it was going, and where the pump sits were going to be situated, or where the power was coming from, and so on like that. Generally, a general layout discussion at times. Important.
And that was the initial conversation that you'd perhaps have. And then would you go back during the process of installation just to oversee it and see that things...
Normally, no, not during the installation. No, that was somebody else's job from then on, yes. There was the installation engineers and the acceptance engineers came along. And they were the ones who finally accepted the job, took it over on behalf of the company, as it were.
And you said that you went with a director once to a job. Generally, how many people would have gone to a job off-site? It would have been yourself as a draftsman, perhaps someone senior and someone who was a fitter, perhaps?
Yes. In many cases, there were two. There were two of us, yes. Perhaps one is a junior, which I would have been, and a senior man, perhaps. Yeah.
How would you have travelled?
Rail.
So there was no getting in a van and driving down there, though?
A car or getting in a van and driving. No.
Because I suppose the petrol was being rationed and saved for really important things.
That's right. And, of course, motor cars weren't available at that time, at least not that one could afford it.
And did you enjoy the work off-site?
Yes, it was. Some of it was interesting. Yeah, but it could be interesting. You ran into certain problems, you know, that. But apart from minor things, yes, it was interesting. Yes, and it gave you an insight of how the layout was going to be and so on, how they were thinking.
And that must have provided a bit of a break, I suppose, from the quiet routine work of the drawing office.
Yes, definitely. It was, it gave you experience. And meeting other people outside who were virtually aiming for the same sort of thing as you were. A good job.